The reading is from Matthew chapter 3, from verse 13. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, all. Great to see friends and family here this morning. What a joyful occasion it is, isn't it, to come and open up our baptistry and to hear from our candidates. Before I start, I just want to say thank you to those that were praying for me last week. A funeral of my father went really well, and so we really appreciate your prayers. So thank you for that. Baptism marks the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. We have this reading that Hazel brought from us from Matthew, but we also find the accounts in Mark, Luke, and John of Jesus' beginning of his ministry. He was the age of 30, so Amy, you've got a steal on him this morning, being at the age of 18. But it's great, isn't it, that Jesus went through the waters of baptism knowing that what was to come for him that next 3 years were going to be really, really significant. And we believe that baptism is a significant moment in individuals' lives, that moment where where they pass through the water. There's nothing special about our water. It's good old, what's the name of the water company? Southwest Water. We haven't done anything else. The Baptist has got a little bit of a leak in it, so it's gone down a little bit. So hopefully there's still enough in there to get you wet this morning. But also it's the marker for our three candidates that they're going to begin a new journey, a sense of a new chapter starting in their lives today as they continue their walk with Jesus. That special moment that says, actually, I'm standing up for what I believe. I've made my declaration of faith. I've said, I believe in Jesus. I love him. And I want to be in obedience. And as Jesus got baptized, so I also want to get baptized. That sense of calling and following and walking in the way of our Master Jesus. So, what is baptism? What is baptism? Why do we do what we do here at Brixington? We do baptism by what we call full immersion because we believe it's that full of symbolism about what Jesus went through during his life on earth here. The act of baptism is that statement that says, yes, I'm standing up for what I believe in. I'm standing up because I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him. It marks the end of an old life of what we call self, I suppose, that self-will that says, well, I choose to do these things because I choose to do them. But when we go through the waters of baptism, we're saying, actually, I'm saying goodbye to the old selfish ways and desires of my old life. And when I come up out of the water, I'm recognizing that I am a new creation. I am born of God again. Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, was having a conversation about, well, how do you be born again? And part of that process is accepting Christ and then being obedient to Christ and following him through the waters of baptism. It marks the end of the old and the beginning of the new. It speaks of repentance. You know, when you go and have a bath, get the back brush out and give yourself a good wash. Maybe you do that in the shower as well. But that cleaning, that cleansing of our outer body is important to us, isn't it? And part of the society that we live in. None of us like to be too smelly, do we? Or we like to have nice odours, not smelly ones. But that sense that what we're saying is that when somebody passes through the waters of baptism, we're saying that actually there's a cleansing process going on. There's a washing process that says when you pass through the waters, we're recognizing that the old life has been washed away. Our sins have been dealt with, have been cleansed, and we've been set free from that. That Jesus, through what he accomplished at the cross when we get to Easter, when he died on the cross, he died for the whole of humanity, for the sins of the world, that he would take our sin. He would take your sin, Donna and Pauline and Amy, and he would take that upon his shoulders, upon the cross. So as we looked at in baptismal class, that he died for us so that our sins might be forgiven. So when we pass through the waters of baptism, we're saying that actually, as a declaration that my sins have been forgiven and I've been set free. That deserves an amen, doesn't it? Amen. Good. It also unites us with Christ. That sense that as Jesus at the cross at Calvary, we celebrate on Good Friday his death, but on Easter morning we celebrate that power of the resurrection that rose Jesus from the dead. And that symbolism here that we die to our old self, and as we come out of the water, we come up as our resurrected body. That sense that we've been made clean, that we've been washed clean, and we've been set free because of what Christ has done for us. The other thing that it does, that it tells our friends and our family that actually this is a really important moment for them. A really important moment for our candidates as they pass through the waters of baptism. They're saying that actually I'm doing this because I have found Jesus' love to be real and true for me. This is not something that's done lightly. It's not something that you undertake at a whimsical moment, but something where they have found profound faith in God and trust in him, that they want to be obedient and take these steps to go through the water and to say that I recognize that Jesus loves me and that I love him. You see, Jesus gave us this example at the beginning of his ministry at the age of 30. But he also gave us that command in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. He says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit,'" which is what we're going to be doing in a few moments' time, "'and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you.'" In other words, the words that are contained in this book, what we call the Bible, are words to live by. And he says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then we see this being practiced by the early church. And when we come out of Easter and 40 days later, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. In Acts 2, it says this in verse 37 to 41, it says this. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day." You see, we live in a world that's full of good and evil. There is an enemy on the prowl. An enemy who would want to devour those that put their heads above the parapet that says, actually, that those thoughts of doubts that would creep in and say, well, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I have no significance. But I know that in the Word of God, it says that we are wonderfully and beautifully made. We have significance. We have identity. It is not left to the world that says that you are nothing and you can go to the rubbish heap. No, the Bible says that you are loved by God. And that because you are loved by God, you have significance in the Lord Jesus. And because you have significance in the Lord Jesus, He can do great things through you. That our identity is not found in our worldly shackles, in the things that we might seek to do or watch or follow. But actually, it's about what we believe. It's about where our belief is and where our identity is found in Jesus that gives us that significance. Now, I know, and as was prayed earlier, that today is a mountaintop experience, isn't it? That sense that we are celebrating and it's great and it's brilliant and it's good. And amen to that. But we, as I've said before, we cannot live on the mountain. We need to go back down through the valleys. There are great times of celebration and they're really, really important. But actually, we have to go back down and work through the humdrum of life. What does Psalm 23 say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That sense that whatever we go through, God is always by our side. He never leaves us. He never wanders off. God is always there guiding and directing our path. And as we seek to follow Him, we can rest in the assurance that He is with us, no matter where we might want to take ourselves. God is there. He is the rock on which we can stand and no security. But we pray that as you enjoy today, our three candidates, as you celebrate and as we celebrate with you, we pray in the days and the weeks ahead, as you come back down off the mountain, that you will know the closeness and the promises of God will be true, yes and amen for you. And that in that, God will hold you and sustain you. So whatever temptation might come, and we've spent a lot of time talking about temptation, haven't we, Pauline? We talked about the temptation of the cake shop, didn't we, Amy? We did. And you know, temptation is a big thing that comes. But when we stick with Jesus, when our focus is on Him and not on the situation around us, that enables us to overcome that temptation and know that His promises are true, yes and amen. So we pray today, I'm going to draw to a close now, but we pray today that today will mark the beginning of a new chapter for you in your walk with Jesus. But also, we pray that the declarations that they're about to make, the promises that they're about to make, maybe it might affect you. There may be something as you're sitting there thinking, well, I've not been to church before, or I don't really engage with any of this as what's going on. But actually, when Donna says, I believe in Jesus, maybe there's something in that, and I want to explore that further. If that's you this morning, then I'd love to have a conversation with you about it. I'd love to talk to you, perhaps over a cup of tea. We're going to have some food later as well. But if you believe there is something in this that you want to explore a bit further, then come and talk to me. Because the message of the good news that we find in the Bible is amazing. It brings hope and it brings love and it brings a joy that is just overwhelming and wonderful. It is really precious. And I'd love to share that good news with you today. So let us pray as we draw to this part of the service to a close before we get ready to baptize our three candidates. Father, we thank you for this act of baptism that we're about to witness. We thank you for the promises that our candidates are about to take. And we pray, O God, that as they do this, Lord, that you would guide them, lead them, and direct them in their journey ahead. That they would know the power of your Holy Spirit in filling them and overflowing out of them. And that through them you will do great and glorious things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I need to ask Pauline, Donna, and Amy to come and join me on the stage, please. Okay, right. We're going to circle time. Okay, we're going to say make our promises. So, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Fantastic. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
I will.
Fantastic. So, now you have made your promises. Did you hear all those? Sort of. We're going to baptize these three good folks. Now, I've got wet. Oh, isn't that a shame? But the baptistry is open. And if you feel the call to be baptized this morning, then there is an opportunity now to do that. We have a spare towel, but we can probably sort some clothing out at some point. Okay, we're going to move on then, and we're going to get changed, and then we're going to come back. We've got some certificates to hand out, and then we're going to, for those that have been baptized before, we're going to renew our baptism vows. So, Pauline, where are you? Let's give Pauline a round of applause, shall we? Bless you, lovely. Donna, where are you?
Thank you.
And Amy. Okay. Eric, could you put the slide up for me? Okay. The words are going to appear on the screen. I'm just going to read an introduction, and then we're then going to say the words in bold type. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. So if you have been baptized before, I would invite you to say the words. Can you read those? Okay. As the people of God in this place, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We respond, we do. God, in whom we trust. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He has redeemed us and called us by name. Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ? We do. Christ is our way. With the Spirit's help, we will follow this Jesus in the church and in the world. Amen. Okay. Well, I think we have come to our closing song, which is an amazing chorus, because it goes, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, you have washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. What a great morning it's been. So thank you for coming and joining in the celebration with us. If you're able to stay, there is lunch. Well, there's tea and coffee first, and then lunch is going to be shared. You're very welcome to come and share lunch with us as well. But as our closing act of worship, I'm just going to lead us in a short prayer, and then we're going to share the grace together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we've been able to celebrate today, through baptism, your death and resurrection. Father, we thank you that the grave was not the end, but Lord, you live enthroned on high. And so, Father, we are so grateful for all that we have shared today. May we be encouraged, may we go out encouraged, knowing that we have celebrated and met with you and with one another. So, Father, as we leave this place today, may we leave it in the knowledge of your love and goodness towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And please don't forget my invitation. If you want to have a conversation about faith, about knowing Jesus, then please come and talk to me. I'd love to have that conversation with you. Let's share the grace together. Our habit is to join hands, and the words will appear on the screen.